Welcome to the Strategic Tech Coaching Podcast. Our host, Oscar Endermo, will together with guests share proven, tested strategies for improving your life and business. At the end of each episode, you will learn how you can use technology to implement those strategies into your daily life. We want to help you bridge the gap from inspiration to implementation.
Welcome to another episode of the Strategic Tech Coaching Podcast. In this episode, I sit down with Magnus Kull. Magnus Kull is a leadership and a coaching consultant in Sweden, and he's been doing this for I think more than 25 years now. And he's actually a partner with Kjell Enhager that's been on the podcast before. And we talk about these topics that I love, which is personal development, leadership, coaching, NLP, and also about entrepreneurship, rapid change, and the future of entrepreneurship. This topic that I really think are super interesting. So I'm sure you'll find this conversation interesting as well. So here we go, me and Magnus.
Magnus Kull, welcome to the Strategic Tech Coaching Podcast.
Thank you very much. Nice to be here.
I think many people in maybe the coaching community in Sweden know who you are, but we have listeners all over the world. So I want you to imagine that you are in a tall building in Dubai with me, and we're going up to a nice sky bar to have a drink. And there's a third guy in the lift, and the third guy, he asks, "So Magnus, what do you do?" So what would you tell him?
I basically do two things. I run open trainings for leaders in leadership and communication, and I do then in-house sort of coaching, supporting CEOs and management teams.
Yeah, excellent. And I would probably add something like, yeah, he's one of the top coaching and NLP guys in Sweden, and very popular coaching and NLP trainings in Sweden. But then also we need to get into what NLP is. But before we do that, so what can you share a little bit, what is your background? How did you get into this coaching and leadership?
I was actually researching organizational development and starting to do my PhD at the University of Gothenburg. And what we saw was that it was creating real change in organizations was really hard. Most organizations on basic structure don't change. So I got curious, you know, what really drives change. And that led me to the States, and that sort of led me into this field of NLP. And I finally found some tools that I at least could do some change for myself and for the people I work with. So coming back to Sweden, I sort of didn't finish my PhD, or I sort of jumped off the research track and more went to the training and consulting track.
Okay. And you've been doing this. When did you start your own company?
96. So it's 25 years this year. So it's like, it's a university, university year. Yeah.
Well, you're so young. How is that even possible?
Well, thank you for that.
No, so directly after university, you started with the consultancy, basically.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I was working as a researcher in university for 3 or 4 years. And then I started this consultancy business in 96. Yeah.
Okay, excellent. So yeah, for the listeners that have been listening to a lot of episodes, we had a lot of NLP experts before, but maybe some people are not familiar with NLP is. So can you describe a little bit to the listeners, what is NLP? And I know you have some nice metaphors for this. So.
Yeah, well, briefly, we talk about, it's about sort of finding, catching, sort of, and spreading mastery. So whenever you find a mastery, somebody's really good at something, how can you really sort of catch that? And in NLP, we call it modeling. So you sort of, you catch that. And what you sort of usually find in NLP is more the inner game. So what happens inside a person. And if you can find structures for that, it's easier to copy, to do yourself, and also to sort of spread to others. So others can sort of get similar results as the original person who was modeled.
So how do you capture what's going on in the inside, because you cannot really see it? So for example, the Ingvar Stenmark, one of the best Swedish skiers, if you ask him like, what do you do, and he says they bara åk, he's just going, you know. Or if you would ask Zlatan, like, how come you're such a good football player, he'd probably say, because I train so hard. But all these things on the inside, how do you elicit that?
I think it's a couple of skills. And I mean, when you train it, you train quite many days to do it. Of course, it's questioning skills. But it's also knowing what to look for, like you looking for values, looking for beliefs. Talking about Ingmar Stenmark, I heard a great story just the other day. I was training a couple of people, and this woman said when she was 13, she was a skier, and she was like a pre-skier for a big race. And she found herself standing next to Ingmar Stenmark. And he asked her, so are you ready to ski? And she said, yeah, I'm ready. And then, which is wonderful, I think, then he asked her, well, how do you know that?
Yeah,
how do you know you're ready? And yeah. It's those types of questions. I mean, you know, you don't stop. So you dig deeper down. And also in NLP, we're fairly good at finding structures for beliefs, for identity, for values. And having that sort of makes it much easier to grasping stuff on the inside. But there are, of course, other tricks here too, because a lot of our mastery is unconscious. So people might not be conscious of what their mastery is, and then they can't answer questions. Yeah. So you have to have other ways. So modeling is also sort of how to assimilate unconscious knowledge.
Mm, yeah, exactly. And that must be kind of difficult, because you can see the outside, but what's going on in the inside. And so yeah, a little bit of the history. It started in the 70s, the founders.
Yeah, so. It started in the 70s in the States. And the first people that they sort of modeled was people who are extremely good at creating individual change. So that sort of created some of the first models and tools in NLP. How do you drive individual change? But then that developed into more personal development and communication, leadership, sales. Today, you know, it's thousands of areas that creativity that you can drive up. And I usually say that NLP's big sort of contribution is answering the how question. A lot of people know what to do, but they don't know how to do it. Mm. So NLP's sort of add-on is more in detail. How are people motivated? How are we creative? How do we drive a company? So far? And that, I think that's at least what I gain a lot of.
Okay, so for you personally, like, what are some ways you use this in daily life, if you have some examples?
Well, I mean, for me personally, it's like in NLP, you sign that people who are good at achieving something, they are fairly good at somehow influencing their own state, their own state of mind. So that's something I can do. You know, I can influence my state of mind either with my body or with my mind, how I think about things. So that's something I do. Of course, you know, in family life with my children, and just sort of hopefully at least listening a bit better, asking a bit better questions, you know, in communicating generally, I hope I bring that. But of course, I mean, the big use I have in NLP is working as a consultant coach inside of companies, asking questions and using the tools and structures there to sort of really help individuals and organizations drive change.
So coaching and NLP, what is the connection there?
Well, I think that, I mean, coaching, I mean, one definition of coaching that we use is it's help for self-help. So you want people to sort of help, you want to help them help themselves. And I think that basically coaching had a lot of really good sort of structures for listening, asking questions, and that will get you to a certain point, but somehow things just stop sort of, you know, people might not change. They say they're going to do something. You come back, they haven't done it, blah, 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 blah. And then you want some tools sort of, so how can I, you know, help that person with some fears, they're stuck in something, whatever it is. And I think that that's the add-on for NLP to coaching. So we get a lot of people coming to our courses who have this basic coaching skills, but when they add on the NLP tools and models, they say, wow, now it's much more effective, sort of much more efficient. People get more change into it. So it's adding on, it's not either or.
Yeah. So when it comes to modeling, do you have any like favorite person to model, or any favorite NLP techniques that have been modeled?
Oh, that was a big question. Yeah, there's loads and loads. I mean, one of my big sort of people that really influenced me is an NLP guy called Robert Dills. And he works a lot today with what he says is entrepreneurship for the future. People who drive organizations more fit for the future than sort of fit for today. And I think those models are really, really interesting, especially applying those also onto companies in Sweden. Some of the biggest companies in Sweden are sort of driving their change and seeing the, how can they help that. And I also am really hooked on mindset. There's a lot of talk about mindset today. You have Carol Dweck's, you know, growth and fixed mindset. And here also NLP sort of has a really good addition, add-on, because what is the mindset and how do you really change that? So I think those modeling things are also very, very interesting. Well, I could keep going. There's so many things that, that really interest me. Yeah, but there was some stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. So there's a lot of things that can be done with this NLP. I know you also have this course, Next Generation Entrepreneurship, which is this thing with Robert Dill. So what are this? What is the next generation of entrepreneurship?
Well, I think it's if you look like of people like Elon Musk or even you know Steve Jobs when he was still around. They had another way of thinking about what is, why do I run a company? You know, what's the big thing here? And I think that formerly, a lot of people running companies, they were mainly after two things, you know, earning some money, getting some revenue, and then growing the business. And if you grew a business and if you're earning money, then you said it will, this is a successful business. But if you look at sort of the next generation entrepreneurs, they don't stop there. They said that for me also to call this successful, I need to do something new. I can't just reproduce old stuff. I need to be innovate something at least that's new. And a fourth thing is I also want to contribute to a better world. Mm. And that's something that you see more and more, you know, why are we here? You know, what's the big why for us? Is it just to earn money or are we here to sort of somehow contribute to a better world? So that's the fourth thing. And the fifth thing is that we also want to feel good. I don't want to sort of work my ass off for 20 years and sell the company and sort of then go to the beach and drink pina colada. You know, I want to enjoy myself here. Mm-hmm. And I think that's one of the basic things for the next generation entrepreneurs that, yeah, they want to earn money, they want to grow the business, they want to innovate, they want to contribute, and they want to feel good. Mm. And having those all five of them, then you can see that's sometimes differs from other people. Okay. And then you can ask what's the driving forces behind that, and that's what we work with.
Interesting. I think Elon Musk nails four of those. I'm not sure if the fifth one, if he... I'm sure he enjoys what he's doing, but I think he is kind of stressful being Elon Musk.
I know he is, but I think he aims for it at least somehow. I agree. I wouldn't want to live his life. If you say
no, that. Exactly. He actually said he was on the Joe Rogan podcast, and he said, "You don't want to be me because it's kind of stressful to run a lot of different companies and a lot of things going on." But he's also there's this distinguish between the pleasant life versus the meaningful life, and I think he has a meaningful life.
It depends on what you mean with feel good. I mean, he has his feel good, but I think that feel good differs from a lot of other people.
So this is a little bit like conscious capitalism. Are you familiar with that?
It's in the same long run, but of course what NLP sort of adds is the how sort of. And when you say that, usually NLP is not, you know, inventing something new. It's finding structures of what's already there. So, it's a lot of books you can read that move in the same direction. And then this is just one of the ones that more helps us to get structures of the inner game of entrepreneurship.
Okay. So if you would come to like a traditional organization, a big organization, for example, in Sweden, that is kind of like traditional, and how would you implement these kind of things? Because the world is changing fast. And
it's really changing fast. I mean, there's a lot of things. Of course, first you need to just sort of drop some ideas and plant some seeds there. I usually get CEOs and top managers to read some books just to sort of, you know, what's your thinking of how to run a company in the future? And for first, if they don't want to change, they don't want to change, I won't push them to it. But if they're curious, I usually say that, well, there's three aspects we need to work with here. we need to work with the business on the business side. We need to work with the professional side and the personal side. So there's going to be a business change somehow. We need to connect to that. That's, you know, the business is here for a reason. So, and to do that, you need to professionally develop as a leader or as a team player, whatever you need to do. And to be able to do that, you need to personally develop. You need to invest and say, well, I'm going to grow too. And if you don't do that, I mean, I think it's going to be really hard. And if you listen to somebody like Frederic Laloux, you know, he says the same thing. A lot of people say the same thing, that you need to combine these three perspectives. So I say, if you're going to do change, we need to work with all three of them.
Are the kind of CEOs that you're working with, are they open for this? Or okay, excellent. Yeah, is it because those are the kinds of people that would come to you, I guess?
Yeah, and I think that it's being in the business for 25 years. I don't think we're going to waste each other's time if we don't want to play the same game. Let's not play it, you know.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. No, because what I see is sometimes, you know, these driving bosses and manager CEOs, like red types, you know, the eight type personalities that are just like, they just go, and then maybe they have a heart attack or eventually, and maybe not focusing so much on the inner growth. And like, if you tell them to sit down and do 10 minutes meditation, they're like, I don't have time for that. You know?
Exactly. No. And you find those too. But I think that, you know, more and more people will be open for, you know, there's other leadership styles. And I think like Jim Collins, when he, you know, from Good to Great, you know, that book also sort of set the scene that those types of leaders are, you know, that's the past, you know, it's not the future. And I think more and more, especially in Sweden, top leaders are fairly aware of, you know, what's happening around in the world and what needs to change. And that I think is really, really great that at least in Sweden, we're fairly, you know, in pace with what needs to change.
Okay. Yeah, I recently moved back after 6 months ago, after 12 years in Dubai. So yeah, maybe I'm looking at the Dubai work culture and not so much here because, anyway, you said some book. Do you have any book recommendations on these things? Like Conscious Capitalist was one, and I mean, Good to Great is a great book for everyone. Yeah, but yeah. Any like other?
Oh, there's loads. I mean, I think there's so many good books, but I think one author really sort of has sort of packaged all these thoughts in a really good way of how to run a new business is Aaron Dignan, spells Aaron with two A's, and his Brave New Work. Mm-hmm. You can also check out his YouTube, you know, he has speaks about it. I think that book sort of summarizes very well some of the thoughts of driving a business in a new way. So that's a really, really good book. Yeah, it's not an NLP book, but that's, you know, in the long run.
Okay, excellent. Yeah. I'm not familiar with that one, so I need to add it to, I have such a long list of books to read, so I need to add it on my list. But yeah, and then that's a good.
I think that's a really, I mean, I could mention 20 books, you know, from, you know, but they're very, very good. But if you want one book, that's the one.
Okay, excellent. Yeah, we'll leave the title in the show notes for those that are interested to read that. So you started your company, like, what did you say, almost 25 years ago?
Yes.
So if I wanted to model you when you started, how did you go about getting clients in the beginning? Because there's a lot of people that are into coaching, like have their own business maybe, they're also into coaching NLP, but they are finding it difficult to build their coaching business. So 25 years ago, how did you go out and get clients with something that called NLP that no one really knew what it was at the time?
No. And I think that there's a couple of things that you need to do. But I think some are true today and some are different today. I did some, you know, cooperated with people. And I think that you need to do that much more today. You need to cooperate really, really well. So networking is important and how you cooperate is really important. I think also the tip I got from other people, they say that, well, don't sell content, sell results. And I think that also helped me, that I was more, you know, aiming for, you know, what do you get out of this? Not exactly what really learn. It's something still I struggle with because I'm a content guy, so I can still get hooked on content. But I think the most important thing in training many people over the years is just starting doing stuff. I think the biggest obstacle for coaches is that they need saying, well, I need to be good at this before I sell it. I need to know this before I sell it. And my question back is, well, how will you ever get good at it if you don't start using it? Mm. So it's just starting somewhere. And I think that was, you know, my success. I just started doing things. Mm. And a lot of people who were with me 25 years ago said, well, you know, Magnus, that was a really crappy course you did there. But we love you anyway. And it was, you know, a lot of courses might were free. So, you know, we invested our time. Yeah. But it, you know, that's, I think, how I got good at it. I did stuff.
Yeah, those comments, you don't get that much anymore after 25 years.
Well, at least I don't hear them, you know.
So you work a lot with Kjellian Hager, yes. That I've also been on this show, and he's one of the most famous coaches, I would say, in Sweden.
Yes.
So how did you start working with him?
Well, we both were into NLP, and we weren't that many that worked with NLP. So we sort of got together and said, well, let's do stuff together. Basically, that was it. You know, he didn't do open trainings at that time. He did a lot of coaching. He ran a lot of in-house trainings in companies, but no open trainings. And I thought it would be a great cooperation. And, you know, we started working in 2003 and we've been working since.
Mm, excellent. So like some practical applications, like 2020 was a tough year for a lot of people. When I talk about what I do with the strategic tech coaching, I talk about rapid change. Yes. And in March, there was one reality. In April, it was a completely different reality. In Dubai, it was a complete lockdown. A lot of parts of the world was complete lockdown. Also in Sweden, everything changed. So like, it's not only about technological change, it's also like, I mean, from one thing to the next, you have a completely different world. So what advice would you give to people 2020 that are kind of struggling with this fast, rapid changing world?
Oh, well, I think one thing is that, you know, moving from into a more and more complex world is realizing that goal setting is not as efficient in a complex world as in a complicated world. And I think that a lot of people still are in a goal setting mind. I will set a goal, I will build a plan, and then I will work my plan towards the goal. So you need to work more with directions, and you can do goal setting too, but you know, you need to start thinking more of directions since the world is changing so much. So even if you won't reach your goal, if that's obsolete after a month or two, you can still sort of start moving or continue to move in the same direction. So that's, I think, one thing. And then thinking about the future, you need to think of sort of like multiple futures, you know, scenario thinking. What are three scenarios that, you know, we're working with at the moment? Because it's so complex, we need to do that more, I think, than just to have one way forward. So that's also important. And then, of course, mindset change, you know, realizing that your mindset is probably what's limiting you. So how do you sort of drive and work with your mindset change constantly?
Mm. So, yeah, traditionally, there's been this SMART goals, for example, that in the corporate world is specific, measurable. And just a side story, like 2019, in October or something, I was on a Tony Robbins event in Dubai. He came for a 1-day event and he asked the audience to do a 1-year goal. And I did a 1-year goal, but I, of course, did not hit. I was not even close to hit because after March, everything changed. And now with the changing world, instead of SMART goals, how would you work with these directions?
We're back sort of to the more next generation entrepreneurships. When I'm working with organizations, which I mainly do with the top management teams, we talk about, you know, it's five things that we need to sort of define. One is individual, what's your passion, you know, but the four corporate things that we need to define is what's the vision, you know, what's the bigger vision that you want to be part of? What's your mission? What's your unique contribution to that higher vision? What's your ambition? What do you get out of it for yourself? And lastly, what's your role compared to other people that you will cooperate with? And working with those four areas and combining them more gets a direction than just absolute goals. We can put in absolute goals into it. So that would be one thing, one way of doing it.
Okay, interesting. Yeah, no, I've been doing this goal seminar for many years where I take people out in the desert in Dubai and help them identify their goals. And now there was this meme that those that set their 5-year goals 5 years ago, no one achieved them because of COVID. And I changed a little bit also the way I like to work with 90-day sprints and a 25-year direction, like a vision 25 years from now, and then do quarterly sprints that is more measurable, like with but yeah, it's interesting. So, and this thing that you just said now, even if you're not a CEO, anyone can do these things, right? It's a very good reflection exercise, I believe.
We do. I mean, we run trainings on this, and a lot of people work for themselves as they're, you know, with their own companies, and they do the same thing. So, so that's something you can do.
One thing about coaching, because sometimes I get a little bit annoyed with this because there's a lot of misconception about coaching. And I hear people sometimes in Dubai, people are like, life coaching, are you going to, I think it's so stupid, this life coaching, you're going to come and teach me about life? And so, and that shows me that they don't know what really coaching is, because it's a very powerful tool. But yeah, I know you wrote a book with Ian Hagen about the coaching model, So how would you explain coaching to someone that doesn't know and think it's advice and mentoring? Like, how would you explain the coaching model?
Well,
not content, result based.
Exactly. Well, I mean, when I say I coach somebody, I say, what I'm after here is helping yourself to a much higher degree. So I want you to be more self-driven and be able to do stuff more yourselves. And as soon as I can get out of here, the better it is. So that's it's more sort of, how can I support you? Supporting yourself, so making myself unnecessary. So that's the basic grounds of what coaching is. The coaching model that me and Shell wrote a book about is that we say that to be able to do that, you need to train yourself to move around in 6 different focus points. And people are usually unaware that they get stuck in 1 or 2 of these focus points. So you need to move around. And as a coach, I can from the outside support you start moving around. But in the long run, you get to, this skill yourself. So you can realize, well, now I'm looking too much to the future. Now I'm looking too much to the now. Now I'm looking too much to actions or whatever it is. And find a balance there to be efficient in the long run.
Yeah. Okay. Now, I mean, for me, the coaching model is extremely powerful, working with someone that is asking good questions and letting you find the insights yourself. But sometimes it's difficult to explain this with people. I think the best way is for people to experience this themselves, because it is kind of an experimental thing, like experiencing it kind of thing.
It is. And it's very simple. I mean, it's not rocket science, because that's also model. I mean, the model came out of us looking at leaders who were very good at getting their employees self-driven, doing stuff for themselves. And when we looked what are those leaders doing, they were basically, working with the 6 different focus points and just supporting people to find the right focus. Mm-hmm. So when we work with the model, as you said, when you try it out, we say, this is not rocket science. It's more, structures of stuff that you're doing when it's working for you.
Yeah. Is that book in English or only in Swedish?
Sorry, it's just in Swedish. Yeah.
Nöra is called, right?
Nöra fan.
So for the listeners in Sweden, you can buy the Nöra book, and for the listeners in other parts of the world, you can learn Swedish. And then
That's the thing you do.
Why does the grass grow? You also written a book, another book.
Yeah, I've written 3 books eventually with one of my best friends, Klaus Hallberg. And we wrote a book called Why Does the Grass Grow? But it's in Swedish. And it sold immensely. So we had a book 2 and book 3. Mm-hmm. But today you can buy the compiled one in the pocket version.
Okay.
In Swedish. But it's basically a collection of short, inspirational, insightful stories.
Okay, so a little bit like Chicken Soup for the Soul, but the Swedish version.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. It's the Swedish version and the much better version than Chicken Soup for the Soul.
Okay, excellent. So what is the answer? Why does the grass grow?
Because it wants to grow.
Excellent. The strategic tech coaching, what I'm doing is about helping people to be happy, successful now, but also in the future, because the world is changing fast. So any more advice on what can people do to be happy and successful also in the future? when the world is changing this fast?
I think it's a lot of things, of course. One, if you talk about mindset, you know, if you're switching from the fixed to the growth mindset, I think that's really, really important. I mean, you see the Microsoft success last 5 years since Satya Nadella moved on, and it's because basically they moved on much more to a growth mindset. So that's important. And I think embracing complexity, that's something, you know, how do you embrace that? And how do you somehow work with complexity, realizing what is complex, what's complicated, and what's simple, sort of. So please just look at some of the complexity models. If you look the Kanevan model by Dave Snowden, for instance, I think it's a good model, or we can look at the Stacey model or something else that sort of helps you to be more familiar with the world of complexity. I think that's also really, really good. So that's two thoughts.
Yeah. Excellent. So yeah, we're coming to an end. So I know you have some coaching clients this afternoon. So yes. If you had a magic wand and you could teach something to everyone in the whole world, what would you teach them?
Teach them or implement, you know, I would love that. Everybody wants to contribute to a better world. I think that would be great. I don't know if that's teachable, you know, in that sense. So if it's a skill I could teach with the magic wand, it's to change their beliefs, limiting beliefs, because I think a lot of our limiting beliefs are stopping us.
Excellent. Okay, so that you can also do in your courses if you come and do one of your NLP courses. I don't, maybe not the whole world, but if you're in Sweden, I have heard very good reviews from your NLP and coaching courses. So yeah, if you're in Sweden, you can find them on coach2coach.se.
coach2coach.se, yeah, please. Yeah,
and that's with a tvåa in the middle, so not... Yeah. And for the international listener, do you coach also internationally, and do you do...
Yeah, I do. I mean,
speaking gigs also in English.
The big, larger companies are all international today. So
So thank you so much for taking time. Any last words or...
No, thanks for being here. Thank you for the questions. It's always interesting having conversations that are interested. So I enjoyed it.
Yeah. I'm going to go directly now and buy that book that you recommended. And good luck with your coaching this afternoon. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
So interesting conversation that me and Magnus had about all these things that are so important in these days of rapid change. If you want to learn more about strategic tech coaching, you can go to strategictechcoaching.com or visit our YouTube channel, where we have also other tips and tricks on how to use technology to survive and thrive in times of rapid change. This episode is sponsored by Trio, which is a Swedish exchange where you can buy Bitcoin or other cryptocurrencies. So there's a link in this episode to Trio. And if you want to sign up, if you're in Sweden, if you want to sign up and you want to buy cryptocurrencies, you can use our link, and then you also support the podcast. As always, you can follow us also on Instagram, Strategic Tech Coaching, and also subscribe to the show and share this episode with a friend. If you really like this episode, share it with a friend, maybe two friends, and also write a review on iTunes or whatever podcast player you are using. Thank you so much for listening.
Thank you for listening to the Strategic Tech Coaching Podcast with your host, Oscar Ndermo. We'll catch you next time.